World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Calgary, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
Today I want to talk about your purpose. Your purpose. Purpose is one of the most powerful things in our lives. We often think that pleasures are, and it's how we often live, that, you know, I want pleasures, and pleasures are wonderful, and I thank God that He gives them. But people who live for pleasures always become addicts. People who live with purpose always have even greater joy in the area of pleasures. And so today, as we talk about it, let me introduce it this way. When it comes to the nation and politics, I am all about rights, privileges, freedoms. But when it comes to the relationship that we have with God, I'm not always nailing God about my rights and my privileges. Now I'm finding myself very focused on my duties. My duties, my purpose. So many people, they just like, duties? What do you mean by duties? Like, yes, you'll find that people who live their life, their entire life, with the greatest zest and zeal, it's not about their career, it's not about their money, it's not about how many pleasures they've got. It's about the purpose that they sense and that they feel and that they live for. And I want you to know that you were created with purpose. And when you don't follow purpose, when you don't make purpose your number one aim, you get skewed, you get off track. So God has prepared for you ahead of time a path. I love Ephesians 2 and verse 10. The Amplified puts it that way, that God has prepared a good life for you and I. It's a life filled with His power, His privilege, His blessing, but it's filled with purpose. And He says, I've prepared a path for each of us individually, ahead of time. And then it says something interesting. It says, you should walk in it. Isn't it interesting that God gave you freedom and He won't manipulate you? He won't force you. He won't make you. Don't ever think freedom comes from government. Freedom comes from God, and government is to protect it. And so this freedom that God has given you is you can walk on the path He's prepared, or you can take your own path. And many times when we take our own path, we think God is punishing us, but He's not. I'll give you an example. There's a path that was made to Banff from here. It's a path that was made ahead of time to Banff. Now you could decide, take your car, just start driving through the backyard. You're not going to drive on a road. You're not going to make it to the edge of the city before someone busts up your headlights or your windshield. Get out of my yard. And then if you ever do get out there and you start driving through some farmer's pasture, you're going to get a bullet in the engine. And that's if you ever make it across a creek without going on a road where the bridge has been prepared ahead of time. You're not going to make it to Banff. But if you take the road that was prepared ahead of time, you'll be there an hour and a half and be able to have coffee and go for a walk. God's prepared a path for you. He's prepared it ahead of time. It is filled with the things you enjoy and love because He made them for you. It is filled with things that your gifts and your ability would thrive at. It's a pathway filled with purpose. And so our purpose is to know Jesus and to know His Word, to get to know Him. When you make that your purpose in life, the Word of God begins to change your heart. You begin to sense His direction. You begin to recognize that John 10 says, He'll guide you by name. Nobody here has the same path, but yet He's prepared it ahead of time. Go figure. Every one of your kids, a different path. Every path is good. People say, well, you know, God's prepared some real messes just to teach us something. God's not that poor of a teacher that He's got to hurt you to teach you. So I want to share a few thoughts with you today as we look at your purpose and the things that you can do in the midst of storms and stuff that goes on to get through, to get ahead. The first one I find in Romans chapter 8, really misunderstood portion of Scripture. And it says in verse 28, We know that all things work together for good. Period. Nope. This is a New Testament scripture, and it has in it a couple of clarifications. It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to purpose. It's interesting that so many people can just claim it. It goes on in the next few verses to show you that it's for believers, followers of Christ, who've been born again, whose the Word comes inside of them. And it just very clearly in beautiful poetic language lays that out. But it's very clear that you can get off the path of purpose. And is God punishing you then? No. It's just that where He is in the path He's prepared. Where He's not is in the path you've just chosen, but you're allowed to go on your strength, your wisdom, your ability, your friendships, your whatever it is you've got, you think you want, you go for it. But the problem is that pathways take you somewhere, and God knows where He's taking you. At the very last verse, verse 31, is a very interesting portion of Scripture that after He's laid out, this is for my children who love me and live for purpose. Then it says, verse 31, so what should we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't say, what should we think? It doesn't say, what should we believe? It says, what should we say? This is a crucial part. You see, in verse 26 and 27, He's teaching here just before this promise that it is God's desire, yes, to bless us. But then in verse 26, He's talking about Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. And He begins to explain praying in the Spirit and praying the Word. Let your mouth declare this last line, and that is that, hey, if God is for me, no one can change or defeat me. This is crucial. God is for me. No one can defeat me. God is for me. No one can change the orbit of my life. I don't care what job. I don't care what God. You say, well, whatever the things go on, you just believe this, that ahead of me is the best. Ahead of me is the better. God never takes you on a downward slope. You know, I don't serve God on a bell curve, to any of you business people that are here. Everything rises and falls on a bell curve except me in the presence of God and you as you look at life with God. There is no bell curve. The Bible says the light grows brighter and brighter. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. And the Bible's very clear. Jesus, I'm going to build my church because that's our purpose. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't stop it. Well, He doesn't stop. Oh, I can't build anymore. The devil's too powerful for me. Really? Make sure that you're declaring there is no defeat.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Does God allow bad things to happen in our lives? If God is all-powerful, does that mean He allows painful things to happen to us? And if so, how can we possibly understand some of the terrible things that happen around us? In this three-part series by Leon Fontaine, Fortify Your Faith, you will learn the answers to these controversial questions.
I'd love to send you this series, Fortify Your Faith. I have noticed so many believers who lose out in this area of faith because they don't understand why bad things happen on this planet. And they get all caught up in doctrinal things that destroy their ability to believe for miracles. You need to get this, how to fortify your faith.
You'll discover that the key to understanding the truth about why bad things happen lies with understanding the difference between power and authority. Get your copy of Fortify Your Faith today.
Second thought I want to leave with you is run your race. I'm one of these guys that I just so thankful for the people in my world that keep me slowed down because I'm kind of just like a D, you know, just like, I see goal, go get goal, slam dunk it, let's get this thing. And people have to remind me there are relationships along the way and people to train and people to work with and organizations to raise. And so it's been really good for me, but I've never lost this drive. I have been preaching for 40 years and I've never lost this passion to get up and teach the word, help people, because I know that what I'm called to do is to help people know who they are and to get up and do incredible things you never dreamed was even possible for you to do. So I don't want to walk. I want to run. Walking's boring. Running's better. And I don't want to pause. It doesn't say, pause your race, walk your race. It doesn't say, Dickie D, your race. It talks about run the race. Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about being surrounded by all the people who've gone before us. It says they're watching. I don't know exactly how, but there's a real truth here. It's using verbiage from the Greek games that there would be people in the stands and people on the field. Now, the people on the stands could cheer, but it was the people on the field that were playing the game. When we die, we go to heaven, but heaven is the stands. There's no more work for us. And so when we're in heaven, we're cheering on the people still on the planet, winning people for Christ, advancing his kingdom. Your purpose is to know Jesus, to know his heart, and to help him advance the kingdom of God. Don't hesitate. Don't take a setback as though, what happened? Don't worry about it. You're going back in the slingshot of God. And the further back you go, the faster you're coming out, the more territory you're going to take. And so run this race. And it says that not to let any weights or sins slow you down. You know, some people don't realize. They just think, well, gosh, golly, gee. You know, they're just fearful. Don't worry. I guess, no. Listen to me. Fear is a weight. Fear will make you pause running. Fear will make you set back on your heels. Fear will make you take a break. Fear will make you reevaluate when you know your purpose is to know Jesus. Your purpose is for the kingdom of God. And so when that happens, that weight has slowed you down. They make you slow down to a jog, then a limp, then a walk, until you just go, well, I hope God's in this thing. No, you're to be running. You're to be taking your life and run, because as you run, and all of us run for the kingdom of God, we create this stunning, phenomenal crowd of momentum that people begin to look at and recognize, I need what these folks have. Run your race. Recognize, and I'll finish with this thought, Weights become sins. Sins slow you down. What do you mean weights become sin? Did you know that accepting fear and keeping it is a sin? Cowardice is a sin. First couple chapters in Revelation, very clear. To him who overcomes, I will grant. What does it mean? It means get up and use your faith. Get up and believe the God that created the planet hasn't got an issue with public health or government. He's quite aware, and he knows how to articulate and move all the pathways of all of his family to end up in the place that's going to benefit the kingdom of God and where it's going. Be salt and light is another thought I want to leave with you. Be salt and light, which means everywhere you go, that people should just sense this revelation of, I need something you've got. That they should just sense this peace. That's why I hate religion. Religion is man-made rules that we govern each other with and we judge each other with. I hate it. I want God. I want to know Jesus and every person just to find a relationship with him at your pace and let him guide you in his way down the path that you've got. But when you serve him, there's a peace on you that people just don't know what's different about you. Do you know why? Because when you talk, when I talk, when we deal with people, there is a peace and a joy, not a wimpy one, that comes off of you and I. And we can sense each other. It's wonderful when I go to churches to preach. I'll step in just and go, oh, you're my brother, you're my sister. Woo, I just feel it. And it's wonderful. This enlightenment comes off of us. The world needs it. The second thing is salty. I always want to be salty. Now, when you use that, when it comes to somebody on a ship usually means that you're, don't mess with this guy. He's a salty sailor. But what it means is that you provoke thirst in others. It means that when you eat salt, it makes you thirsty. And as you thirst, what do you want? You want a drink. There's a verse that David said that as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Did you know that when you live Jesus, when you share Jesus, when you walk in His love, His peace, His joy, His confidence of the future that only He can bring, people begin to desire what you've got. They begin to thirst. I just need what you've got. Over and over, they'll begin to want to get into your life. This thing about sharing your faith with others is not hard unless you're not living it. Then it's hard. Because you have to tell them about it because you can't show them. A picture is worth 1,000 words. Living it makes them see this illumination of something's different. It makes them thirst after what it is you have. And that's not the time to brag. Yeah, well, I got a degree in this and I've done this. No. Talk about your relationship with Jesus. Because you should be salty and life light giving. It's crucial for us if we're going to be in the purposes of God. Number four. Change the view you have of yourself. There's a mystery on this planet that stuns me until I figured it out. Everybody struggles with self-worth and identity. Everybody. Everybody. Some people, I know a guy that doesn't. He's the biggest braggart. No. People who act superior feel inferior. It's why they've got to talk about themselves so much. It's why they've got to push themselves around so much because of this insecurity on the inside. People who know who they are never have to advertise. And so your view of yourself. Now, in this world, I'm just going to call it the mystery of low self-worth. It's everywhere. It is just everywhere. It doesn't matter if I'm speaking with a member of parliament or another country with leaders who are, and they're about to look at their next season, and they're just so unsure. Oh, they're very confident where they are because you've learned to walk in faith in what you've got now. But to move into the next season requires a number of things. And I recognize that with the fall of man, this God consciousness of bring it on was gone. And fear took its place. And as we give our lives to Christ and we renew our minds, it begins to clean it out and put on the other. But it's just interesting that this mystery of low self-worth that it's always about me, me, me. I'm not enough. What did I do? I remember going to a death in a home of a mom that passed away. And so I went in to see the dad. And I mean, he was just wiped and he said, you know, it's my fault. I can't believe I let this happen. And with counsel with him, no, it's not. And then I went into this 12-year-old son and into his bedroom. They were in their bedrooms and I talked with him. And he started to cry. He knew it was his fault that his mom died. Where does this kind of thing come from? But then I went into the bedroom of a little girl, wasn't even in kindergarten yet. She was playing with her dollies and she informed me that her mom had died because of her. What makes this mess that pushes at us, at our identity and what we do or don't do? And I begin to recognize this is the dark kingdom. Why is heaven so filled with perfection? Because the kingdom of light is there, but not the kingdom of darkness. Why does the earth have suffering and things that go on? Because on the planet, there is both the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. That means we have spiritual principles, and we also have worldly principles, and they're at war. Romans 8 says that to be godly, to be spiritually minded is life, to be earthly minded is death, and that they're always fighting with each other. And so you can just sense and know here that you need to have a biblical view of yourself. I want you to understand something. Don't ever limit God. Don't ever think He can't use you and give you a strategy and do something that'll change the entire. God's people have never had the majority. God's people have never had the benefits of an overwhelming response. Like a general says, what's the most important thing to, I think it was Schwarzkopf, most important thing about going into battle? Overwhelming ability, just overwhelm. Don't go there with half, just go. Well, there's no miracle in the Bible where we had that. So smile. Lift your head up. Let's go do something great for God. My last thought is stop limiting God. In Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says there that the children of Israel limited God. What do you mean you can't limit God? God can do whatever he wants. No, he can't. God is sovereign, and this doctrine of sovereignty has gone so far off the rails. God can't do whatever he wants. If God gives you his word about something, he can't change it. That's what God can't do. He can't change his word because he's so powerful. His word is in what he promised. He can't change it. And so they limited God. Jesus was limited in his hometown. He couldn't do any great miracles there because of their unbelief. And he marveled at their unbelief. And that was his hometown. So I'm sure one lady said, I remember changing his diapers. Who does he think he is? Or my boy played soccer with him. Jesus is the miracle worker. And it says they couldn't believe on him. They just chose not to believe. And the Bible doesn't say Jesus wouldn't do miracles. It says he couldn't. In this world of free will, it's crucial that God doesn't go against his will, his word. See, freedom doesn't come from the government. Freedom comes from God. And you want a government that'll protect those freedoms. And I want to challenge you today. Have you limited God and what he could do in some area of your life? Maybe there's a miracle that you need and, well, they say it's impossible. Okay. The God of the universe put all the laws together about health. He hasn't got a problem. Maybe it's your career. Well, you know, there's just no way anymore. Oh, really? So somebody else is in control of every career. And there's no other career out there that you... Really? Like, where are you limiting God? And my challenge to you today is to get up and declare, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Get up and declare, if God is with me, nothing's going to stop me from every area of my life being favored. My health, my relationships, my career, what I put my hands to, prosperity, my church, the favor and the blessing of God is on my life. You must believe in the favor of God because of what Jesus did, his finished work on the cross. So my challenge to you today is let's rise up and recognize these things help you to live with purpose, a high sense of God doesn't fail me. People often ask me pointed questions. Well, what happens if? Well, let me just pretend. And I just listen to them and say, well, if that failed, God's got something better. But what if he doesn't? What if that fails? Then you'll have something else that's even better. People are trying to find, when will you stop believing in him? Never. My eternity is based on what I believe. My children, my grandchildren, the generations ahead of me on this planet, I'm never backing down. I've found truth. I've found reality. I've tested it for my lifetime, and I've seen it work over and over again. And I want to challenge you. Live with purpose. Live for Jesus. Get to know him. Live his word. He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of help him build his church. And as we do, the careers, the jobs, the families, the hurts, the things that go on, recognize this. This ability will be there. Some of you have maybe your first house or you bought a place and you couldn't do the yard. Just a big old hunk of dirt. So every day as husband and wife get home, they're shoveling and raking and wheelbarrowing dirt and dumping it in the back because they can't afford a company to put it back there. And then you go to bed so tired at night that you can hardly get up in the morning. You're throwing back 4 espressos and they go into work knowing you're going to come back home. Next, you're going to put in grass and topsoil. Then you're going to put in the planters. I mean, it's week after week. It's a month or two. Then you're going to build decks. Then you got to put, you are suffering with lack of sleep. You are suffering from calluses and water blisters. And you're suffering with all, it's just like no time for relaxing. It's just go, go, go. What gives you the ability to keep doing it? Purpose. You have a dream. It's a dream of your kids playing on beautiful green grass, sitting around a little campfire that you've built in the back, sitting on your deck and watching the sunset with you and your spouse and your family. It's watching the kids help you with the flowers each spring and each fall. There's a dream that gives you purpose for what you do. Therefore, none of it is painful. Your pain tolerance is so high, it doesn't even bother you. You get up in the morning going, all right, I need a nap, but let's put in the boozies. Let's put in the let's do this. Let's put in a birdhouse. What's going on? Your sense of purpose, your sense of dream and vision is bigger than the pain that you're going through. That is why people with purpose live strong, healthy, happening lives. Because purpose is so great that whatever waylays them, whatever delays them, whatever puts them flat on their back, they just get up and go, ah, God's got something better. It just comes out of them. You can take a cork and put it down 40 feet in the water. It's coming up. You can take a cork and put it down a mile. It's coming up. You can put a cork down 4 miles. It's coming up. Why? That's built right into the cork. God's built into you, Him. And you're going to succeed. And you're going to do great things. And the best days are still ahead of you. This is what you must believe. Live with purpose. Enjoy the ride. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior. Come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.